Okay, brethren, you've probably got other points of view, which I am anxious to hear.
I've got a few little things to say. We talked about where this wedding feast is occurring.
What happened? Oh.
That zoom at the bottom.
Where?
No, we have to pick it. Good. No, yeah, that one. Pick that one. Click on it.
I'm sorry, Mike.
That's okay.
Did
Yeah.
that cut the recording off?
Yeah, I think it, well, okay, now it's on, I think, because the green thing is around me. And
Okay.
can you hear me now?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Some button got touched here.
No problem.
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, well, we talked about where this wedding feast was taking place, and we said it was in the holy place at the table of showbread. And Mark mentioned what's going on in the outer court, and he said the shedding of blood. And what does that literally mean? That's kind of a little bit confusing. And what did the scripture say? It said the life is in the blood. So when it says that the shedding of the blood is taking place in the outer court, what it literally means is you're giving up your life. You're giving up your life and making the kingdom of God number one in your life. And the reason there's so few real Christians in the earth is because who wants to give up their life? I mean, really, who wants to give up their life? And when you finally do, something occurs, and I'm going to quote Paul, your life becomes dung. Now, it doesn't really mean your life is worthless and no good. It actually means, compared to the kingdom of God, it's dung. And you find out how good it is. I mean, think about this for a second. The creator of this universe, can you imagine this? The creator of this universe is willing to talk to you and show you the way in life and do things for you, commune with you, be the best friend you ever had. I mean, can you imagine that? The honor of being a son of God and God being your father. This life has no comparison to it. And then another thing I wanted to say is, Mark, you misquoted one thing, and I'm only bringing it up so that everybody makes sure they got it right. You said, whatever is bound in heaven is whatever you bind in heaven is bound on heaven, and it's just the opposite. Whatever you bind in earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose in earth is loosed in heaven. There's a big difference between those two things. And then
Thank you,
last.
Mike. I got that wrong because I wasn't reading it.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to jump in right on the spot, but I thought, well,
I knew I was getting it wrong when I said it.
I could see it in your expression that you knew something was haywire.
Go ahead, brother.
The last thing I want to say is about the yoke. One other thing they used that yoke for? They took a good old experienced yoke and they put a young one in on the other side so that he would train him. And that's an admonition to us. God wants to use us for that, to train the others. So, brethren, get out there and do it. Don't be afraid. God wants to use you. And we're all going to have a glorious big supper one of these days. Amen.
Amen. Mike,
Amen. You know,
Amen.
I see the Amish sometimes are training a young horse that way. They have their team of adult horses trotting down the road, pulling their carriage, and over on the left side, there will be a young one, almost fully grown, and he's attached to them, and he's trotting right along and learning the commands and learning to do the same thing. It's a team, not a yoke, but it amounts to the same thing. Thank you, Mike.
I found apostolate under Strong's number G4754. So you can check it out.
Yeah, it didn't say much more about it than that word.
I think there is a sentence I've closed it. There is something about it explained.
So when the Lord said he sent out his apostolate, then what did it mean? To destroy their city. Is that not the apostolic message that will destroy the false doctrine of both the harlot church and the false doctrines of the church system?
I have forgotten something I just read. I think it's about sending armies to execute some what will I say now? It's like unbelievers, according to their own judgment, not unbelievers as we know, sending armies to execute people that are opposed to their commands. I think that is what apostolate means, something like that.
But we're not going out with guns and swords and ammunition, are we?
Not at all. Okay, I've got it. It's apostolate, okay, in bracket. To execute the apostolate, to contend with carnal inclinations. That's nothing much, of course. That's true. With its obvious duties and functions. To the apostolate has a different kind of character. as described as adios. And adios duties and functions. Okay, let's just leave it at that. It's not much there to say.
I was going to throw out one last little thing about gnashing of the teeth. You know, that second invitation went out to the church world. And I'll tell you what my experience has been, and I'm sure there could be a few exceptions to this, but you could go in almost any church in any town in the entire United States, go in there and start telling them about the real truth of the kingdom of God, and they're going to gnash their teeth at you. And one other thing Mark mentioned was in the emergency room, the great pain that he saw, but he never saw anybody gnash their teeth. Well, I raised sheep for a while, and I had some of them long enough to where they died on my property. And the last stage was they would sit there and grind their teeth, just grind and grind their teeth. I can't imagine how much pain you must have to go through to grind your teeth. And if we were to bump that into the spiritual, I would say that's what some people are going to start feeling when they realize I'm going to end up in hell instead of heaven.
Let me, I'm unmuted.
Okay. Brethren, I was thinking about those 12 apostles when they were sitting at the feast with Jesus, and he said someone was going to betray him. And I think they all were concerned. There must have been something in them that maybe each one of them thought, am I really committed to the Lord? Do I really follow him wholeheartedly with all my heart? Is my foundation sure that it's unshakable? I think they were all kind of worried that maybe they weren't in that place they thought they might have been in. And that's the thought that came to me, is like, we got to make sure our foundation is sure. We got to make sure that we love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Because we're no different than those apostles. Amen? Because if there's anything in us that can be shaken, it will be shaken. Amen.
Peter denied him, but he didn't betray him. In the end, he laid down his life.
Yes, amen.
Amen. So tell me, what are the highways and byways and the streets and the alleys?
I believe these are the places out in the world that we travel. You know, you mentioned Kathy, and, you know, I understand, you know, where she's traveling. You know, I spend, because of my business, you know, I thank God for, I encounter these people too. And it's just such a great opportunity that the Lord has given us to approach and speak to these people. You know, we're offering to them eternal life. And, you know, it's not that we do it, but God has honored us to be able to carry the word of God with us and to reach out to others that don't know the word of God. You know, were you that second passage where you read from Luke, where it says that, see, whenever I read these, you know, passages where it says the first invitation, even the second invitation, you know, to me, that's reaching out to the Hebrews, you know, the those that were originally called in the covenant that God made with them. But they rejected the covenant. They rejected Jesus. And so then he says, then he turns and says, then go out to the highways and the byways. In other words, it's not just in Jerusalem or in Judea, you know, in that land, but now go out beyond that, go out to the rest of the world and offer that which the Hebrews rejected. And where it says in verse 21, where it says, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. In other words, these are the Gentiles. These are the ones that don't know. They don't have the word of God. You know, not like you Hebrews that, you know, had the oracles of God, you know, and they knew Jehovah God, but they rejected Jesus. But the people that are halt or blind, you know, these are those that are without, and it's up to us. It's up to each of us. You know, it talks about, you know, God has given in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, shepherds, and evangelists. And as far as I'm concerned, God has called us all to be evangelists. And, you know, there's different ways to evangelize. You know, it may not be like, you know, what Kathy and I and many of you others are doing, but there's all different ways that you can reach out to people and spread the word. And that's not just a suggestion. That's the Great Commission. That's a commandment that we're all, that God is asking us all to fulfill. So, amen. It's a big world out there. There's a lot of unsaved people that need to hear what we are carrying within us. Amen.
Man, I agree with this explanation or opinion. I think this is the group we all belong to, since the Jews that the master came for have rejected him. Up to today, they still stand on their rejection. And Christ sent his messengers to come and fish us out from our cubicles. And that is why we are gathered here today. I think my spirit agrees with this explanation. Praise God.
You know, when I hear the term highways and byways, the first thought that comes to my mind is the parks. You know, in my town, there's probably 8 or 10 parks, and you can go by any one of them anytime, any day, and there's people scattered all over them that are sleeping on a blanket or eating their food, or, you know, it's like what a ripe ground. You know, to go talk to some of those in the highways and the byways.
Yeah, Kathy, did you have something to say?
Yes, I wanted to say that I just step out my door and God brings people. I don't even really have to look for them. They're just needy people everywhere. I'll be on the way to the store or getting on the bus. And most of the time, the Lord brings someone, you know, and that they're humble people, and they're needy, and they're willing to pray. You know, they believe in God. They say some of them have accepted Jesus in their life, but they're just sidetracked or lost, it's not that I go looking. I'm just on my way to do something, and they are there, yeah. Everywhere, really.
Yeah. Well, Kathy, you're in the inner city of Schenectady. And by the way, speaking of Schenectady, I check the website almost every day to see where people are coming from. 2 days ago, from Schenectady, somebody went on the website 37 times looking for something. No, I don't think that was Kathy. I don't think she has a computer to do that. But somebody did. Somebody, all I know is it was Schenectady. I have no idea who they are. Now, let me define what these terms mean. When it says they went into the streets, that term actually means the open square. The lanes, that word means the crowded avenue. Then they went into the highways and hedges. That would be the fenced or enclosed by a barrier. That's the meaning of those.
Kathy, can you hear me?
Kathy, can you hear Mike? Yes.
Yes, I can.
Well, when you were speaking, Lord brought something to my mind. And I'm probably going to hack this scripture all up because I don't remember it exactly, but it was when people were giving their tithe and the lady dropped in a couple coins and Jesus said something like, she just gave more than all the rest. Because you gave out of your extra, basically, and she gave out of her need. And somehow I think God was showing me that it had something to do with you.
Kathy, I believe
thank
that.
Thank you for sharing that, Mike.
Yeah, Kathy, I believe God. God has called you to be an evangelist because I see the gifting. And people that have a gift of evangelist, they God just brings the people to them. They don't have to go after it. I see that in people that have that gift. So, Kathy, I believe you have that gift of evangelism because God is bringing them to you. Amen? Amen.
And I really want to be where I am. Sometimes I get a little discouraged with people around me and helping, but then my heart's desire is to minister to the needy people.
Amen.
You know, and so God fulfills it little by little.
Amen.
Thank you, Mike, for that word. Thank you, Rita.
You're welcome. Amen.
Now, did you speak about those on the road?
Say that again.
Did you talk about, did you explain what is meant by those on the road? Invite, yeah.
Only a little bit, that these are people that are out of the system. They're homeless, they're drug addicts, they're prostitutes, they're sinners, you know, people just going their own way. They don't have to be the worst of sinners, but the world of sin. Jesus said, harlots and publicans. They were considered the sinners in his day.
I met Amanda. She Her father's a minister in Massachusetts. She has a big family, and she's trained in the things of God, she told me. In the Bible, you know.
Yeah. Well, I got called to the hospital. Maybe you don't remember this, Kathy or Larry. There was a man called me to the hospital one time, and he was bleeding internally, and they had him planned to have surgery the next day. And I had no idea who he was. I had no idea how he even got a hold of my phone number. And I said, do you believe that Jesus can heal you? He said, my father is a Pentecostal minister and brought us up in the Word of God. And he said that I have been running away from God. I've left my wife. He was a very young fellow. And we prayed for him, Janet and I, we prayed for the man. The next morning he called and he said, they canceled the surgery and I'm being discharged. And so I said, would you have a place to stay? And so I went down to the Y and I arranged to have him have a place to stay. And I think he stayed there one night. And the next day I went to call to check up on him and he was gone. I had no idea what had happened to him. Years later, Sandra apparently knew this family, Sandra Walter. And I said, Sandra, whatever happened to that man? Oh, she said, he went back to his wife, back to Massachusetts, and he went back and made things right with his family. And she said, what I heard is he's preaching the gospel. And here's a man that was bleeding because he had drunk so much alcohol that it was destroying him. And it was just, there he was, a man that had gone off into the highways and byways, and God caught him and restored him, used us to my surprise. What a miracle. I've never seen such a miracle of healing as God gave that fellow.
You know who else is preaching the gospel, Mark? Chris, your stepson.
I've heard that.
He is a mighty man of God, I'll tell you. I spent time with him, and he has a ministry reaching out to people, that he's ministering to people who are where he was when he was younger. And the Lord has turned him around where he can do things that, you know, other people can't do, because they're in a place that God pulled him out of. And he just has a marvelous work going on. So
I just. Yeah, he called me a while back. And you know, Larry, this is the prayers of a mother.
That's right.
Go back to that chapter in Isaiah and claim that, mothers, claim that for your kids.
That's what I was saying.
That happened after the mother died and went to heaven, that he turned and went to the Lord.
Yeah, because, you know, it doesn't matter where the person is, your kids, grandkids, you know, they're not beyond God's reach. Chris was in a bad place, you know, depressed, going to kill himself. I mean, no hope, but God got a hold of him and turned him completely around. And he's, like I say, he's a mighty man of God right now. Who would have thought?
He asked me for your phone number, Larry, so that's how he got it.
Yeah, no, we've gone out a few times for dinner. So, because we like to share each other's stories, so.
Okay.
And I'm I'm waiting for a time. I want to have him come and minister to the to my Bible group, because they like to hear of stories like this, you know. So quite a testimony.
Our prayers are ever before the throne of God. Even after Janet went on, her prayers were still being answered.
You know, I've often wondered, does she have more pull now? I mean, she can actually see the throne of God where she's at. Well, you never know. You know, some of these, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. She may be in the meeting today.
That's a blessing about Chris. I didn't know that. That's a great blessing to my soul.
Who knows? Brother Campbell, Brother DeCille, Sister DeCille, they might be in our meeting today.
Perspective than they did here.
Oh yeah, they have a perspective that I'm really looking forward to. Well, let me turn the recording off.